His outpouring. He will want a very, very powerful miracle working presence of every kind of healing. And Maurice, about 8 or 9 years ago, took me to the Maybe Center. So Maurice, of course, as a friend, got me a center section seat. Well, when the ushers would fill this part up, they'd come over. I didn't have the little thing or whatever. So I kept getting demoted until finally I thought I might end up outside of the building. But I didn't. I just made it off the front section up in one corner a little bit. But it was good seat. And I watched it. Watched the miracles. Then he was getting testimonies and winding down. And people were getting to move towards the doors. And so I thought, okay, this is a good time. So I started moving towards the door. In the middle of one of those steps, I don't know how long they take, but to people around you, you just took a step like this. And I saw the whole thing in that amount of time. And I saw power like was there physically, miracles and testimonies. But then I saw people sliding down the walls, and they were weeping and crying. And I hadn't really seen this. So I asked him, "What is this?" Come to find out, it's happened in history several times. I said, "What is this?" And they were just lost and weeping and crying. And almost like they were turned inside out. Just total change. I don't think any kind of dope or anything would not survive that, I don't think. I said, what is going on here? And the Lord answered it so funny. I said, "Who are these other that's getting the physical miracles?" And he says, "The guy's getting it that's sent to church." And I said, "Well, who are these other ones?" He said, "The guy that stays at home's getting healed now." Didn't take me but a second to understand what he meant. We send our exterior guy to church. He puts on his best. But this healing was healing the one that stayed home. I went, "Oh." Then it happened again. And I went, "Oh." No. It happened again. I was walking through what it looked like front rooms or something. Where television or what's that other thing you hold in your lap all the time? What? Laptop, yeah, wherever they go. I could just see these TVs, and I knew they were in somebody's home. They were playing. And there's a guy raising money on one. You know, using things like miracle wallets. Thing. And so this guy walking through goes, "Money grubbers. Just money grubbers." The next one, they were holding up a crutch and testifying, and he says, "Oh, that's all set up. I don't believe it." The gal that was paid to testify went through the whole thing, if I understand it correctly, girl or guy, and he didn't He said, I didn't know. You know. But anyway, this third one, the same guy. There was somebody on. And there was a presence that came in that room. Absolutely reduced him to whatever it did. It got past everything. And anytime he'd ever heard the word, and it would, all of it was coming together at once. And it went to those feelings where he's the answer and everything he's ever looking for. You'll find it here. And it got him. It got him. So we talk about being moved by compassion. Jesus was. Boy, and I like what Father said. Follows. And he healed them. This meeting's been different, and it's been analyzed a few times correctly. It's been great. I don't think anybody's going home the same. I know I'm not. I've never did so little, but never felt so free. So on the right path, yes. Happy, yes. Still, yes. Quiet, yes. Peace, yes. How about orneriness? Still there. Where is Romans at? Oh, okay. I think I'll go over near the end somewhere, so we don't have a lot of time. Just rest of the day. I probably should go near the end, about 12th chapter or something. And Jesus went, and another comforter. And it gave an illustration of the ministry that he would have. Of guiding us into all truth. Concerning those that deceive you, seduce you, have no need any man teach you that anointing which is truth that cannot lie abides in you. Teaches us all things. When he talked about the Holy Spirit, he said he will guide you into all truth. He didn't say push. When he said he'd guide us into all truth, he gave some of this ability of the Holy Spirit. Said. He'll not even speak of himself. He'll receive of mine and show it unto you. So, the standing he has with the Father, that's what he's going to show to you. The standing that you have, only not just with him. He's included everything else. And your calling, teaching, in fact, when this 12th chapter starts, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, present your bodies a living sacrifice. When he said, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, when he said, therefore, brethren, it had to be based on something he had already said. Offer your bodies a living sacrifice. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, offer your body. Well, somewhere in the previous chapters, he must have told us how. He said, I'm going to offer my body a living sacrifice. I sure want to know how to do it. Well, we really don't have to go back too far. Chapters 9, 10, and 11 deal somewhat with Israel's prospective position in the whole plan of God. So you could almost jump from Romans 8 over to Romans 12. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, present your bodies a living sacrifice, because 8's got the map on how you can work his plan out ahead. Brings you always back to the search engine. Somebody says,
you can pray too much in tongues and get weird.
You know, Rick Renner was having a book signing, and I was there with him. And I heard this guy just waiting politely to talk to Rick, and Rick stepped over, and he says, if you pray too much, will you get weird in tongues too much? He says, I knew this gal. She prayed too much in tongues and really got weird. And I couldn't take it anymore. So I stepped up between Rick, this guy, and Rick was back here. I could feel his eyes and everything. And I said, sir, if you get weird from praying too much in tongues, it's because you already were, and it just got it out there where you could see it too. But when he begins to break this down here, it's because he's already told you how to offer your body a living sacrifice. See? And if you want to go back and look at it real quick for a minute, we can. Why don't we kick in about the 20th verse of Romans 8, and that's way down there, really. For the creature, creation, was made subject to vanity and corruption, you know, not willingly, but by reason of him who subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For the whole creation, it's groaning now in imperfection and travail and pain together until now. For what? New heaven, new earth. He said, not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. Oh, goodness, I've been born again and filled with the Holy Ghost. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for this whole adoption process to be made complete. And that'll be at the redemption of our body. For we're saved by hope, but hope that's seen is not hope. For what a man sees, what's he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, even with patience wait for it, well, guess what? He left somebody to wait with. That's the 26th verse. Likewise, or in this waiting, likewise the Spirit helpeth our infirmities. We don't know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts, he knows what the plan or the mind of God is. This is for you. And because he does, he's capable to making intercession for the saints then according to the will of God. You mean he knows God's whole plan for my life? Yes. And he's successful in making intercession for me according to the will of God. And then 28 says, we know all things work together for the good to them that love God. Now they're called according to his purpose. Now tell me something. If I'm praying and working his plan out ahead of me here, shouldn't I get there? I mean, if I really pray that into existence up at the corner there. I mean, if I prayed his plan and his will up to that place, I'm probably going to make it there. I've already established it there in the Spirit. So I'm probably going to make it there no matter what hell says or does about it. I'm going there. For he that searcheth the hearts, he already knows the whole plan of God concerning you, and it frees him to make intercession for us according then to the will of God. Then we can know all things will begin to work together for the good to them that love God and are called. And now his purpose is coming online. Do you remember then the days when they made apple pies? I don't know how Grandma made them. We get them down at the store or out of a can. One time Grandma visited, you know, and she started putting this stuff in a pinch of salt and said, "What, with the sugar? What are you doing with that? You telling me this is going to make a pie?" She said, "Just get out of the kitchen." You know, manner of speaking. So it puts this in it and this in it. Puts this in it, mixes up this way, then puts this in it. Then puts this real icky stuff on the top of it, and it gets crusty looking and brown. And when she's all done with it, it says, "Here." And you go, "Oh, I saw what you put in this." "Oh, that's good." See, hell can try to send everything against you. All kinds of circumstances, problems. But by the time God gets them and turns them and mixes them up, they can come out tasting like a pie, and you win. You win. For he that searches the heart knows what is his plan. It makes intercession for us and according to the purpose of God. If I work myself in that corner, I'm going to get up there because I worked it out ahead. So therefore, his plan is in front of me, and that's where I'm going. Somebody says, "Can you pray too much in tongues?" Not really. Well, yeah, but what if you're neglecting everybody? Don't worry. The revelation will start going off in you continually to stop until you change. Well, can you just, abuse it and pray too much? And no, because if you're abusing it and praying too much, he'll give you the understanding how to readjust yourself so it doesn't abuse or offend people, then continue praying. Well, it works God's plan in my life. Yes, it does. Well, I've prayed for 3 years and it's not come to pass yet. Pray for 3 more years. Well, what would happen per se? Well, I tell you what. He's either else going to work it in front of you and you're going to see it and catch it, or you're going to quit. Both of them's not going to happen. You're not going to keep praying and not get there. You're going to quit somewhere. So you keep praying, then the Holy Spirit has went to where Jesus has told him to go. And he knows everything about you, your call, and everything heaven once prayed. He's going to pray his plan out there. And the only way it's not going to get to you is if you quit praying. Oh, yeah, but, you know, I stopped that praying too much because I didn't want to get weird like... Don't worry. Like I said, if you're getting weird from praying, you're about to change. So I beseech you, therefore, brethren, based on this, go ahead and offer your body this living sacrifice. Now we're back to 12, just briefly. I really didn't want to do this morning. I mean, I wanted to worship more and jump around more and stuff. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, verse 1. You present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable servant. Be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed. And how might that be? By the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good, acceptable, and the perfect will of God. For Paul's about to say something. Now, if Paul was standing here, do you think you'd listen? He was about to say something. And what he's basing what he's saying on is the grace that's been given to him. Notice here, for I say through the grace given to me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but think soberly according as God has dealt to every man the what? Measure of faith. Isn't this something? Sometimes when I preach on the measure of faith in the faith camp, they come in and try to get me to measure it out more correctly. There's a big teaching going on. What's the measure of faith? Well, I'm not quite sure, because we really don't know if it's the measure or a measure. What's the difference if you can't get either one to work? But whatever Paul was speaking out of, it was the grace that was given to him first. So what is grace? Unearnable. Unmeritable. It means something I can't earn. I didn't merit it. I'm speaking out of the grace given to me, that you ought not think of yourself more highly than you ought. For he was speaking out of his apostolic office. He said, you ought not think of yourself more highly than you ought. What, did I call myself? Did I appoint myself to be the mighty apostle? No. Are you one? I don't think so. At the height of one of the prophetic moves, I got such a kick out of it. I mean, people would stand up and prophesy to each other. Yea, thou shalt. Oh, okay. Give me one. Okay. Thou shalt. Oh, give me one. Okay. Thou shalt. I'm wondering, don't they trust their own? It was one of them that says, your airplane propeller is going to fly off your airplane on the way home. I said, well, if I'm going to die, I'd sure like to know about it if I can hear him. He said, what's he going to do? I said, going home. He says, I'm speaking out of the grace given to me. Do y'all not think of yourself more highly? What, did you call yourself? But he said, but think soberly according to God has measured to every man what? Dealt to every man what? The measure of faith. First, you get the grace from him for your office, your calling, whatever it is. Then you get the measure of faith to fill yours. Not mine. Yours. The measure of faith. I got a hint one day when I was praying. I think it was Tawny that gave it to me when she was maybe 3 or 4. How old are you when they start teaching you fractions? Second grade. The Holy Spirit was trying to get it over to me. He said, we all have graces differing one from another. And he says that in the 6th verse. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that's given to us, whether prophecy or proportion of faith, ministry, teaching, exhorting, giving, mercy ministries. He named about everything. So we have these differences in our callings, not because you chose it. For Paul started it by saying, I'm speaking out of the grace that's given to me. You ought not think of yourself more highly than you think. According to God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. So first of all, I got the grace for my office. Second, he gave me the measure of faith to fulfill it. And if that isn't enough, he gave me the Holy Spirit to order it. He knows the whole path, the whole call, the measure, and the grace. And you cannot keep praying in tongues. One or two things will happen. He will fulfill it in you, or you'll have to stop. Both of them will not continue in the same vessel.
Well, I'll pray my whole long life and not get it.
No, you won't. That's why he took the understanding of it away from you until he could answer it. So in the reward thing, he said, you ought not think of ourselves more highly than we ought. Why? I've got the measure of faith to fill my office. You have the measure of faith to fill yours. A measure is part of a whole. I've got faith to fill my measure. So do you. What does this all go back to all the time? That search engine that searches out where it's all at and establishes. And who did he get to do this for us? I don't know how they'd have lived in the early church not being able to read, and whoever came and taught, and the letter they got from Paul to read it, and what did you have to take home with you? No wonder Paul made a statement something like, I thank my God I pray with tongues more than all of you. Gee, he was responsible for more revelation knowledge. He was always hit with the questions that had the gray areas in them. Jesus, what he'd teach, he'd say, any man put away his wife, marries another, commits adultery, and whoever married her that's married to him commits adultery. Then he'd leave it, and you're going, am I okay? So who got this wife? Paul preaching to the Gentiles, and they have 7 or 8 wives? Well, Solomon did. Who's going to straighten this out? Unequally yoked. Who was it that mostly cleaned up the gray areas? Paul. He had the audacity to say, I thank my God that I pray. Come on. The future isn't a little bit clearer. Just relax. Take a deep breath. You got faith to get there. Go on. Use your faith to release the master who has the plan on the inside of you. I'll have to go to my last scenario here. I became the mighty first apostle. Where'd you get that? My apostleship? It's because of my special character. What do you think? I become the mighty first apostle. I didn't do too bad. Got a couple of whole continents saved. Billions of people. Oh, I finally went home, you know. Glorious. I was on the Lord's highway. Big old highway. Had to have angels for crowd control. Oh, they were jumping up and down to get a little glimpse of the Lamb. They heard that maybe he was coming. And oh, it was the day, you know, I get my reward. What a time. Brought me to a room, said, wait here. Sure. Hi, how you doing, angel? Jesus says, I'll be back a little bit. And well, the the crowning and things like that. I'll wait. I said, before you leave, would you open that great big window again? Let me see all those people. I got saved. Pull it back. Oh, yeah, look at them. Billions. What can I say? What can I say? I look around. He's gone. Pretty soon the door opens. An angel walks in with this girl. I said, oh, hi. Did you get half the world saved like I did?
No.
Oh. Who are you?
I'm a believer.
You didn't live in my generation. I'd know who you were if you did as much as I did. What generation did you live in?
20th century.
Oh. Well, I got a couple of continents saved. What were you?
Cleaning lady.
What? Cleaning lady.
Don't you recognize me?
No.
Well, I cleaned one of the limbs of the church. It was big, massive. And I cleaned it at night and did everything. And did you know I had a calendar and a big map?
And I'd pray all night while I cleaned over the chairs and things. And every time there's a revival in that city, I'd take the pen out, stick it in or whatever. I said, you're a cleaning lady?
Yes, I am.
So, angel, could you go get Jesus? Please come in here. They have brought a cleaning lady to the wrong room here. He said, Roberson, Roberson, you ought not think of yourself more highly than you ought. You need to think soberly. First of all, the measure of faith came from me. So did the grace for your office. I expected you to do this or more. Oh, because I gave you the faith in your measure and I gave you the grace. But this woman, I gave her the grace for the praying. I gave her the calling. The measure of faith for it. And this woman labored every bit. It took her faith, her walk, her life. She gave it to me. On the measure of faith I give her and the unearnable grace of her calling. It took both of you to get this done. So what makes you think you're some kind of hot shot that she's not? I don't care what I'm called. I don't care. When he was walking down that King's Highway, per se, I saw something that just shook my little world. This part, I saw the other I was adding to. Not this part. Just preaching to make points. Somebody was receiving their reward, and it seemed like they were staircase going up to a throne. And you could see him sitting up there. Even though there was, for the sake of teaching, crowd control, this little bitty girl broke through the ranks. Angels didn't try to stop her. They ran up. She ran up the steps and slipped her little hand in. She She looks up and says, "Mister, I'm a child of abortion. I'm a child of famine. I'm a child of war. We don't know anything here except the love of the Lamb. This is how we were raised, and one thing we know, oh, He loves us." She says, "But I'll tell you something. I'd gladly traded places with you, endured any hardship, anything. I wouldn't care. To have Him look at me like that. Oh, He loves us. I'd give anything to do something for Him. Anything. I'm eternally happy here. I couldn't be anymore. He loves us. That's so evident. I'd gladly trade with any of you just for the chance to do something for Him." You've got to measure. You have the grace. You have the engine. Well, do I have to? No. You get to. You get to. You're here. You say, "Well, Brother Roberson, I can't speak with tongues this morning."
You're going to try it again.
This is what I do. You're here and you say, "Well, is this one?" Oh, most of them couldn't read or anything in the early church. But yet the teacher indwelled them. Not only that, He had the plan and He prayed for them. Whew. Think about it.
"Well, I can't pray in tongues."
Then you're at the mercy of other translators, aren't you? Hey. "He that prays in the unknown tongue speaks not unto men, but unto God." Really? My spirit's in direct communication? Yes, sir. What's happening? How be it? In the Spirit, He's speaking mysteries. Which mysteries? The mysteries of everything Christ is in you, to you, and through you. The hope of glory. And when you pray one of those out in order, it becomes the reality that's working in you in faith. Who is it that's guiding you into all truth? "Well, I can't speak with tongues." Come up here. Come up here.